so pleased and so honored today that Rabbi Rentz has agreed to do our drash. We're very excited, and Rabbi Brent was excited, and we're also happy to have Rebitz and Stacy with us as they have come to minister to us. We've known Rabbi Brent for a while now, and I'll just say we love their hearts. They have such hearts, humility for God, humility to people that God has sent in their lives to not only be a blessing to them, but to be a blessing to their congregation as well. So I just want to say a blessing over Rabbi Rebitson before Rabbi Brennan does the drops. Father God, Abinu, Abinu, our Father, our King, we just thank you for this precious husband and wife in God, Father, who have taken it upon themselves, Lord God, at your urging, Father, and it's your calling to pastor a congregation, Lord God, to be able to shepherd those who are under them, Father God, that you have put before them, Lord God. We ask that you would continue to fill them up with your holiness, with your mercy, Lord God, with your word, the very word, the Ruach HaKodesh, which they absolutely need and desire in order to fulfill the role that you have called them to. We thank you for their hearts, Lord God, and being so generous with their time. And we thank you, Lord God, for even allowing their congregation to adapt their West Coast time to our East Coast time. We thank you, Lord God, that you have awakened them with excitement to be a part of this online service today. And we ask your blessing over Rabbi Brent as he comes to give the drash. May you fill him up with your word, Lord, and may you continue to pour out upon him, Father, your spirit for leading and for teaching, Lord God, your precious word. We thank you for the drash that Rabbi Brent is delivering today. And we ask that you would open up our hearts and our minds, Lord, in order just to receive all that you have to give to us today through Rabbi Brent. We thank you in the name of Yeshua Mashiach and just ask your blessing in your precious name.
Amen. Amen. Shabbat shalom from California. I want to thank Rabbi David and Pastor Mora Juanita. We've known them for probably about 5 or 6 years, but we've got to know them more in the last couple years. We've known them from afar, being at conferences and sitting near them and just observing them. And we always knew that they were good people, and we knew that at some point the Lord was going to connect us. We didn't know how or when, but we just knew it by the Spirit. And so getting to know them and talk to them and spend time with them is just a pleasure. And it's a great honor of mine and my wife to be with y'all today. Our congregation, we all got up early this morning. There was no traffic coming here. And so we're blessed to be here with you. I want to let my wife say a few words, and we'll get going with the Torah.
Shabbat shalom and welcome to you all, those of us on the West Coast and all of you on the East. We speak blessing to you, and we say we are honored and privileged to be here with you today, and we look forward to all that Hashem has for us.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Please stand as we pick the blessing before reading the Torah. Barehu et Adonai amvevorach. Baruch Adonai Amvevorach Leolam Vaed, Baruch Atah Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam, Asher Bekar Banu Mikol HaAmim, Venatan Lanu Et Torato, Baruch Atah Adonai Noten HaTorah. Amen. Bless Adonai who is blessed. Blessed is Adonai who is blessed forever and ever. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe, who selected us from all the nations and gave us his Torah. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. Amen and amen. Please remain standing as we read the first few verses of our portion today, which can be found in the book of Numbers, Bamidbar chapter 8, verse 1, and I'm going to read in Hebrew through verse 4. And in Hebrew it reads, Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe lemor, Daber el Aharon ve'armarta elav becha alocha, et chanerot el mul pene chamenora, ve'eru shivat chanerot. Vayas ken Aharon el mul pene chamenora, he'ela nero techa ka asher tziva Adonai et Moshe. Vize ma'aze chamenora miksha zachav ad yerecha ad percha miksha hi ka mare asher chera Adonai et Moshe ken asa chamenora.
And now reading in English, starting with Numbers chapter 8, verse 1. Adonai said to Moshe, tell Aharon, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah. Aharon did this. He lit its lamps so as to give light in front of the menorah, as Adonai had ordered Moshe. Here is how the menorah was made. It was hammered gold from its base to its flowers, hammered work following the pattern Adonai had shown Moshe. This is how he made the menorah. But the people began complaining about their hardships to Adonai. When Adonai heard it, his anger flared up, so that the fire from Adonai broke out against them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. Then the people cried to Moshe. Moshe prayed to Adonai, and the fire abated. That place was called Tav Erah, because Adonai's fire broke out against them. Next, the mixed crowd that was with them grew greedy for an easier life, while the people of Israel, for their part, also renewed their weeping and said, if only we had meat to eat. We remember the fish we used to eat in Egypt. It cost us nothing. And the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. But now we're withering away. We have nothing to look at but this manna. The manna whey was like coriander seed and white like gum resin.
And now the closing blessing. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam asher netan lanu Torah emet v'chai olam neta betochenu. Baruch ata Adonai noten haTorah. Amen. Blessed are you, Adonai, our God, King of the universe. You have given us the Torah of truth and planted within us everlasting life. Blessed are you, Adonai, giver of the Torah. Amen and amen. You may be seated. So Shabbat Shalom again to you all. It's a blessing being here. And believe it or not, this may sound incredible to some of you, but this is our first time ever having any service on Zoom as a congregation. So thank you for allowing us to work through all the technology issues, but praise God, it's gone good. So with that, we've been moving through the Torah quite rapidly. We're more than halfway through the cycle again. We've reached Parashat Be'ha'alotcha. The complete portion can be found in the book of Bamidbar, Numbers 8:1 through 12:16. Last week's portion, Parashat Naso, we discussed the Nazirite vow and how it was not looked upon favorably by the average person, and it was only entered into by a small percentage of society, and how even in recent history, some have taken on the vow knowing that they would not be able to get out of it unless the temple were to be rebuilt in our lifetime. So that brings us to this week's portion again, Parashat Becha Locha, which means in Hebrew, when you set up, referring to Aharon setting up the seven lamps on the temple menorah. There are also other things going on in this portion, but I want to focus on a couple things. If everything went right with the children of Israel, they were just days away from going into the land. They were being led by the cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. But how many of you know that sadly, there always seems to be some sort of setback that would take place to delay their journey? That being said, a few weeks ago, I'd been talking to Adonai about what he would have me speak on today. And one morning I woke up and I believe Adonai gave me a question to ask you. And I knew this was what I was to speak on today. And he has since given me the rest of the drash on this portion for today. And I'll ask you this question shortly. But before I do, let's start by reading this portion right at the beginning. Again, Numbers chapter 8, verse 1, Adonai said to Moshe, tell Aharon, when you set up the lamps, the seven lamps are to cast their light forward in front of the menorah. Aharon did this. He lit its lamp so far as it gave light in front of the menorah, and as Adonai had ordered Moshe. It's a very interesting scripture here that says the lamps were set up to give light in a certain direction. And it's very interesting and compelling to note that the direction of light was subject to the hands of the man who was lighting the wick and directing the wick. Keep that in mind as we continue reading this. Before we read the next section, I want to tell you the question that God said for me to ask you. The question is this: can you keep a secret? What a question. This is a really important self-check. How many of you know it's better for you to check yourself than to wait for God to check you? Or to have somebody else check you? To have your rabbi or rebbetzin or pastor check you? You know, if that has to happen, then the Lord has been dealing with you for a long time and you've gone unchecked. And I'm not talking about as far as for secrets about ingredients of a secret recipe or something trivial. I'm referring to real life things of great importance, things that could potentially hurt someone if they were to be uttered. Like the lights of the menorah, we need to shine our individual light in the direction of what is in front of us so that we can see forward to be able to carry out the work that Hashem has called each of us to do. Individually and collectively, all at the same time. Just as Aharon was directed to trim the wicks a certain way, sending light in a particular direction, we need to do the same thing. Amen? In our congregation here, we talk about how we're just one little light in a city filled with darkness. For those of you who have the benefit of living outside of California, and this is coming from a native California born and raised, it's getting harder and harder and harder to be a light in California. We've already blessed 5 people to leave our congregation to move out of the state. People who, you know, I was depending on for certain things, and now we've had to bless them to move on to go to other congregations out of the state. And so we just feel like our light here, we've got to depend on each other more and more. Hallelujah. So being just one little light in the city, we ask ourselves, how much does it matter what we do? Does it matter if our wick is trimmed a certain way or not? On the menorah in the temple, there were 7 lights, each individual, but each focused in the same direction by the high priest. Each sharing its light with the other lights on the menorah that didn't necessarily need it. But together, they made an even greater light. Even greater impact. Each light was perfectly able to stand on its own, but by divine design, each was called to stand together. I believe this is a picture of our two congregations coming together today. Each of our congregations are able to stand alone and be highly functional, but together, how much more can we do? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there in Virginia that there's actually people in California who love you, who are praying for you, who think the best of you, who love your rabbi and pastor, which we do, honestly. Hallelujah. And how much more can we do being united with other lights in the menorah? We need each other. Hallelujah. If our wicks are trimmed in the same direction by the great high priest Messiah Yeshua, what can't we do? What darkness can't we come against? Amen? But you notice something. If the lights are trimmed in such a way as to shine in a certain direction rather than casting even light everywhere, that means that there are some areas that for different reasons didn't need to be lit up. And possibly even need to stay totally unlit, totally in the dark. So I ask you again, can you keep a secret? Hallelujah. But we all need to know when to cast light on something, when to go forward in the direction that the great high priest Yeshua has lit in front of us, and not look back. But what about when it comes to dealing with one another? Scripture talks all the time about how we deal with one another, how we deal with God, how we deal with one another. Are we called to trim our wicks a certain direction, lighting up something in someone else's life, exposing a shortcoming for all to see? No. No. Or should we leave that in the dark, in the shadows, and allow Hashem to deal with those things? As we focus forward, walking in the light as He has lit the path in front of us, there's no need for us to look back into the darkness. It's a very tricky thing, being messianic, in case those of you in Virginia haven't noticed. You probably deal with the same things out there that we deal with out here. We have information relevant to both our Christian brothers and sisters, on one side, and unbelievers, and on the other side, our Jewish brothers and sisters, we have information and relationship that they need. And we're poised to sit right in the middle. We're not in the business of exposing people's error publicly in a way for everyone to see. Even when we know more, and even when we are more enlightened by the light of Messiah. But we're to be in the business of helping people see the light of Messiah that has lit our path, which hopefully and prayerfully will cause them to step from behind the dark areas behind the menorah into the light of Messiah, and for believers into a much brighter and brighter light of understanding. We open our doors every Shabbat for anyone who wants to come and be a part, whether they agree or not. You know, this is why Messiah said, you know, basically to get along with people, get along with God. Build relationships. Rabbi Shapiro says all the time, the kingdom of heaven is built on what?
Relationships.
Hallelujah. And from there, we can walk with anybody if they're willing to take the walk with us to Jerusalem. In great love, in great patience. Hallelujah. As messianic believers, it's our job to keep things secret that need to be kept secret, or confidential that need to be confidential. Amen. Loving one another enough to do as the sons of Noah did when they found him exposed within his tent. They covered his exposure when they could have further opened his tent flaps and trimmed their wicks, shining light upon his nakedness. Sadly, this is something within the, you know, the church, the messianic world, that we tend to kill our own wounded, sadly, and not bring them into the tent, rub on some of the healing balm of Gilead, and raise them back up. Amen. So I ask you again, can you keep a secret? I hope you can, because the manna couldn't keep a secret. How was it that the manna couldn't keep a secret? Did the manna have a mouth to talk? Did the manna have hands to write? No. The manna publicly exposed things for all to see. It exposed truth from lies. It shed light and resolved misunderstandings and disputes impartially. But the manna was, in effect, the outstretched hand of God, the provision of God. We've got to be careful getting involved in things that are God's business and they're not our business. And when we get involved with things that he has us do that are delicate, we need to especially be careful about what we say or do when we're dealing with God's business. Amen? Amen from you in Virginia? I can't hear you. If any of you ever want to unmute and say amen, then please go right ahead and do so. There's a... Thank you, Todah Rabah. Thank you, thank you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. A statement in Tractate Yoma 75a says concerning Israel that the manna revealed what was in their cracks and crevices. It essentially was able to shine light and expose things that they wanted hidden. How many of you know that when we need to know that we need to know the difference between our work and the work of Hashem. Praise you, Lord. I'm dealing with a situation out here. How many know you deal with other people? You deal with other people. And dealing with some things, it's put me in a position to say, you know what? I really need to know what is my part, Lord, and what is your part to maintain the peace, to keep the peace, to build bridges, to bring reconciliation, to do what we need to do to further the kingdom, not hinder it. Hallelujah. But here's what it says in Tractate Yoma 75a. It says, if there was a dispute between two men who came before Moshe to present their disagreement, where one man said, a slave belongs to me, you sold him to me, and the other person says, no, he belongs to me, you stole him from me. Moshe would say to them, judgment will be given in the morning. I appreciate this, Rabbi and Pastor, when you have people come with a dispute or some type of thing that you really don't want to get involved in, isn't it nice that you can just put it off on God and let him deal with it? I don't know about you, but I love that. Hallelujah. Moshe would say, judgment will be given in the morning. The next morning, the lot of manna for the slave would show up at the home of the rightful owner of the slave without Moshe or anybody else having to make a judgment. Some of the things that are hidden in the dark, there's a reason why they're in the dark, and those things are for God to deal with. We are called to be a righteous light directed forward to bring resolution to disputes. We are to shine our light in a way to help bring reconciliation to disputes in an honorable way. Again, not an exposing way. You know, my family, I'm Creole from Louisiana. And, you know, when I get around my family members, especially those who never left Louisiana, they're loud and contentious. And, you know, did I say loud? Opinionated, you know. I don't know, maybe it's just me, maybe you don't have anyone like that in your life. But that being said, God knew where he put you. He knows what family he put you in. He knows what congregation he put you in. He knows what interpersonal relationships he's put you in with people who you walk around and you know their secrets. And we continue to pray for them and help them to come up. Amen. Hallelujah. And with this is also the realization that some secrets we can't keep. Some secrets we must not keep. We can't keep the light of Yeshua to ourselves as a secret. If you're messianic, may you fully expose this for all to see that you're messianic. Allowing the light of Messiah to shine for you in all directions with no shadows, may we be not a secret messianic. Amen. All of us have friends. I have friends who are Christians. I have friends who are non-believers. I've got Jewish friends. I've got Orthodox acquaintances who have blessed our congregation from New York. I mean, it's in an incredible way. They know all about us and what we do. We have to be us. We have to let our light shine around Christians, because there's things that Christians have that is a wonderful thing, but there's things that they need. We have to let our light shine around our Jewish friends. There's things that they have, but if they haven't received Messiah, they're still missing the big one that they've been waiting for thousands of years. We need to let our light shine, amen, in all directions. Hallelujah. May the unbelievers and the Christians around you be exposed to Torah that Messiah walked in, proclaimed and embodied, and be drawn to you, receiving him or knowing him in a deeper way. And may the Jewish people around you be exposed to the authentic Jewish Messiah in a way that draws them to you, that they would receive him, and in a way that he's recognizable to them. Hallelujah. With that, I want to say this before I close. May Adonai continue to bring our two congregations, our two candlesticks together to help one another, to love one another, that we may together illuminate the darkness around both of our congregations, that we would be a light on the West Coast, that you would be a light in the East Coast, working together in God's great messianic menorah, lighting a clear pathway for our people and any who want to come and join us on this journey. And again, we can do it alone. Who wants to walk alone? You ever have a party by yourself? Not a lot of fun. Not only do we need you, we want you. We love you guys there in Virginia. May our congregations forever be connected. Hallelujah. We can do it alone, but together we can accomplish a lot more. Together we can do a lot more. Together we are brighter. Together we don't feel like we're alone. We're not alone. Hallelujah. And in closing, may you be a righteous light for the kingdom, exposing the true light of the Jewish Messiah to the world around, everywhere you go. Hallelujah. Shabbat shalom, everyone.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Rabbi. I'll tell you what, there's such a good message. And you had me even at one of the first lines you had said, that it's up to the man. It's up to a person to be able to cast that light forward. And it got me thinking right away. And then just understanding about that we have to share our light. That's one secret that we should never, ever keep to ourselves, is sharing the light.
Amen.
Such a great reminder. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Before we continue with a song of worship and what will take place, if the members of both congregations will just hold up your hands and extend your hand towards Rabbi Brent, towards Rabbits and Stacy. Father God, Abina Malkenu, our Father, our King, we thank you for this precious couple. We ask, Lord God, that you continue to be a shield around them, Lord God, to guide them, that you would shine your light on them to guide them, to show them how to guide their congregation, to be proactive, Lord God, and knowing when to be proactive right now, and when to wait until the morning, Father God. We thank you for that wisdom you've poured out.
And we ask, Father God, that you continue to make Rabbi Brent a man after your own heart, Father God. And we thank you, Lord God, that you have made him such a wonderful man, Lord God, even in his house, Lord God, that he is the priest over his house, the Kohen, Father God. We ask that you would bless him and Stacy in their marriage, and you would bless them as parents, Father God, and bless them as pastors over this precious congregation of Emek Elohim. And we thank you, Lord God, that you're going to bless the congregation to support this man and woman of God, to always ask, what can we do to help? How can we pray for you? That they would be proactive in that, Lord God. And we thank you, Father God, that that our two congregations have joined on this morning. It is no small thing when two congregations can do the halakha of Shabbat, celebrating the Shabbat echad in unison, and enjoy one another's company and one another's contributions. We just thank you for the blessing of Emek Elohim, Rabbi Brent, and Rabbi and Stacy. In the name of Yeshua Mashiach, amen, the amen. Hallelujah.
I'm going to ask Rabbi Brent to just have a closing prayer for us as he blesses the congregation.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we're here together, O God. And we thank you for that, Lord. We thank you, Lord. There's a lot of people. I can hear the cars driving on the street outside here. A lot of people have no idea that it's Shabbat. They have no idea that our congregation is here, that the congregation in Virginia is meeting, and we're together today, O God. So we thank you, Lord, that you have called us and allowed us to be part of this, Lord. We represent a tiny little percentage of humanity. But look at what you're doing through us, O God. It's no little thing, and we thank you for that, Lord, that you would call us worthy for such a time as this, and count us worthy, O God, to be used for your kingdom's sake, O God, to do things to bring about the swift return of Messiah. And we thank you, O God. We thank you that when we look at you, Father, and look at your light, we can move forward in it, O God. We thank you, Lord, when we look in your light, it takes our focus off of the darkness that we deal with, O God. It takes the focus off of our personal shortcomings, Lord, as we look upon you. And as we look upon you, Lord, we're reminded, O God, to think the best of our brothers and sisters around us, O God, always striving to help them move forward in you, to continue to make this journey to Jerusalem, O God, to continue to make Aliyah, to move up in understanding and relationship with you, O God. We pray that we will continue to move forward and not leave anyone behind, Lord. And I thank you for all of the members, the people of Mahut Hayim, O God, Kingdom Life. I pray, Lord, that they were blessed by just being a part today, by being a bigger community, O God, that stretches from coast to coast, and even people watching from overseas, O God. We pray that you will continue to build community in us all. I lift up those who took part today, and I thank you for those who read, those who chanted the prayers, O God. We thank you for them, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you call on regular, ordinary people to stand up and be counted within communities, Lord, for the blessing of everyone. So we thank you for that. I ask that you continue to bless us and use us, that you would bless this Shabbat day. I thank you for Rabbi and Pastor Juanita, that you would bless them as they're away. And I thank you, O God, that they have people in their congregation, Lord, who have stood up and met the challenges of this day without them, O God, and done a great job. We all need help. We all need people around us to help. So I thank you for them, Lord. I thank you for blessing them, and I pray that they would recognize that they're especially needed when Rabbi and Pastor are not there. And you give them a special anointing, a special ability to do what you've called them to do in their absence, O God. And it means a great deal, O God. I can tell you it means a great deal to have help. I thank you for everyone here who's involved in helping, who's helped today, oh God. Even just by being here at 7 o'clock in the morning on Shabbat, means a whole lot. So we thank you. We give glory to you. We speak blessing and peace and great mercy from you, oh God. We receive it. We thank you for it. We give you all of our praise to you who deserves all of the glory. We thank you and praise you for sealing this in Yeshua's name, oh God. Amen and amen. Shavua Tov. Happy Father's Day. Shavua Tov.